Amen. It's so good to be back here from Israel. Pastor Wade and I returned safely, and we thank you for your prayers, for everything. It was a consultation went way beyond, the impact of it was way beyond what I was expecting, and I was expecting a lot. And so I just really want to thank the Lord for this church and for the way that you supported and prayed for this venture, because so much was accomplished for the kingdom. And I just praise the Lord, because in Beulahville, North Carolina, he has found a body that he can use for some very, very strategic things. And I think we should just give him praise for that. I really do. Amen. Amen. I'd like it if you turn with me to John chapter 14, and we're going to be ministering today the fourth part of the five-part series on the Lord's Supper. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper as well. And I want to be ministering from that which the Lord was pouring out at the consultation in Israel, really, truly upon his global family, his global church, because there were leaders assembled there from every part of the globe. And God did some powerful, powerful things. And it's spreading. And I believe that we're going to receive something very, very powerful from the Lord. I'm very glad that you're here. Okay? I'm very glad to be here and to share with you today. The fourth part of this series, it's based from John 14 through John 17, those chapters. And it's basically that we are supposed to be learning everything that Jesus taught about the Lord's Supper. We should learn everything that he taught before he celebrated the Lord's Supper with his disciples. You know, we commonly have taken just a short time to get prepared, but actually Jesus said, and he taught the most profound teachings that he had in all the scripture and all the New Testament and all the gospels. In my opinion, the most profound teachings are found right before celebrating the Lord's Supper. So we're examining that. The first aspect was our relationship with one another. Then we looked at our relationship with Jesus, then our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to talk about our relationship with the Heavenly Father, with the Father. And we're believing for the Father to bring an impartation of his heart into our lives today. That's what I'm asking him to do, to impart his heart into us, his children, today as we look at the Word. We're going to look at seven statements that Jesus made in this passage concerning the Father. And we're going to be summarizing the teaching that Jesus brought about our relationship with God the Father through those seven statements. The first one is in John chapter 14, verse 6. And it says there in John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Okay? Jesus is giving the only path to any kind of a relationship with the Father. And when we're talking about Father, we're talking about God. Okay? He chooses to be known as the Father to those who choose to respond to his son Jesus and become his children. Okay? And so Jesus said to them, "No one comes to the Father but through me." There is no other path for anyone on the earth to enter into a relationship with the Heavenly Father except through Jesus Christ, his Son. There is no other path. All religions do not go to the same path. Okay? I want to lay that out there, because these days our society is increasingly challenging the central truths of the gospel, and we will not flex on these things at all, because they are absolute statements made by Jesus. Other religions do not lead to the Heavenly Father. The only path to the Father is through Jesus Christ. Okay? And, you know, sometimes that may upset people, but if I am truly an ambassador of the Lord, I do not have the right to change what he has stated. I only have the right to state what he has stated. Because they are his statements, not mine. I can't change them. They're not mine. They're his. Okay? And so, you know, it may make some people angry or upset to find out that Christians believe that Jesus is the only way, but that is what we believe. And we believe it because that's what he said. Okay? We will absolutely not flex on that at all. Okay? Now, why did Jesus make this statement? Because he was trying to be exclusive? No, because he wanted us to know. His goal was that we would come to know the Father. And he's saying, this is the way to do it. There's only one way. Okay? And he's trying to teach mankind how to get where we want to go. It's in a relationship with the Heavenly Father, with God. Amen. And so, you know, if someone drives up here on 111 and they're heading out to East Duplin and they ask me if this is the way to Chinkapin, you know, and I tell them that it is, they may be temporarily happy with my answer, but ultimately they're going to be frustrated and angry because I'm not telling them the truth. Okay? They're going to waste time. They're going to waste part of their life here on earth, you know, pursuing a path that they think is going where they want to go. There is no other way to the Heavenly Father except through Jesus Christ. And anyone who tells you different is a liar. Amen. Okay, we'll just tell it straight. You know, we'll quit tiptoeing through the tulips here. All right, that's just the way. They're deceived. They're either a liar or deceived. Sometimes people are deceived. They're telling the truth they think is the truth, but they're deceived. Jesus Christ is the only way. Amen. So that is the first thing. And we see what I want to emphasize is that Jesus' goal is that we have a relationship with the Father. And then he's going to begin to develop what that relationship is supposed to look like. He is trying to bring all mankind. He did not come to the earth for his own purposes. He came for the purposes of the Father. He came to reconcile mankind to the Father. Now, the Father sent his Son Jesus to the earth, and he was thinking about the bride that the Son would obtain. Okay? Neither was working for their own purposes, but was working for the other. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus, his goal is our relationship with the Father. Okay? Secondly, John 14, 9, that's the first statement. Jesus is the only way. The second one we find in John 14, 9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Okay? Jesus is saying, look, the way that you can know the Father, no one has seen him at any time, is what the scripture says. Okay? And so I cannot know directly exactly what he is like. But as it says in one of Paul's epistles, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Okay? He is the exact representation of everything that the Father is. And so Jesus is giving us the path of how we can know the Father. He says, whatever you have seen in me, the Father is just like that. Amen. Okay? Now, I confess that even though I knew better theologically, you know, for many years, I kind of thought this Father-Son thing was kind of like a bad cop, good cop routine. Okay? That's what I really thought in my heart, you know, was that, okay, the Father, he's this real severe, strict person, you know, and he's got a long white beard, you know, and he uses a cane and he's kind of hobbling around. And Jesus is the cool one, you know, that really wants to give me a blessing. Okay? I confess, that's the way I really looked at it in my heart. I knew that wasn't what the Bible said. Okay? It was kind of like, okay, I better stick close to Jesus because this Father situation, it's not going to go well. I need, you know, he's too judgmental. He's too severe. He's too strict. You know, and that is an untruth that the devil really loves portraying in the world today. Okay? And the devil uses the mistakes of earthly fathers to try to project that upon the Heavenly Father. Okay? So right from the beginning, you know, many people these days have suffered from a relationship with an overly severe or strict earthly father. And the devil loves to try to project that situation upon our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Okay? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil that we might know the Heavenly Father in truth. And not the way that the devil says he is, but the way that he actually is. Okay? And so Jesus taught us, as we start down the road of learning, of getting to know the Father, Jesus once again gave us the very sure roadmap of what we need to do that, and that is to know him. So if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is exactly like what I am. If he were the one here on the earth, he wouldn't be shooting lightning bolts at anyone. He would die on the cross, just like the Son did. If he were the one that was here, he would have done the very same thing. Okay? The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are not in some kind of multiple personality disorder. They are exactly alike. They have different functions, okay? But they are the very same person. They are exactly alike, okay? And, you know, today we really need to get rid of, you know, as we're moving into this place of receiving an impartation of the Father's heart, we really need to get rid of our misconceptions about what the Heavenly Father is like. Okay? He is exactly like Jesus. To the point that anything I've seen of Jesus in truth, according to his word, is also true of the Father. The very same love and grace, the very same compassion, the very same mercy, the very same goodness that's true of Jesus is true also of the Father, the Heavenly Father. Amen. There is no truth about the Father that can be known in this creation except through any way by knowing Jesus. That's the only way. Amen. Amen. That's the only way. I will not enter into the ability to see the Father in this creation. The Bible says no one's ever seen him. Okay? But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, I know that, you know, I'm kind of really pushing this point, but it's because we need to get rid of these misconceptions which limit our ability to receive from the Father. I'm not pushing this because it's a theological point, but because it makes a practical difference in my ability to relate to God. Okay? And so Jesus said, the second statement we're looking at today in these chapters of John 14 through 17, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Anything you have truly experienced about Jesus, his goodness, his mercy, his love, is also true of the Father. Hallelujah. Third statement, John 14, 12 through 13. This is what was being so wonderfully, and in such an anointed way, was coming forth so powerfully in praise and worship. Okay? John 14, 12 and 13. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Wow. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Here we see once again, Jesus' goal was that the Father be glorified, not his own glory. Okay? He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Okay? Now, here's what we need to look at this point, is that because you and I, through faith in Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, believing in him, okay, we have been made either a son or a daughter of the King, of the Heavenly Father, okay? And with that comes something that is very, very powerful. Every single one of us in this room who has believed in Christ Jesus, you have been created to do great things on the earth. Okay? You have been created to do greater things, you know, whatever. I mean, Jesus said that we would do greater things than what he did. Okay? He said that we would do greater things than what he did. He first said, you'll do the same things that I was doing. And then he said, you'll do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. Amen. There is a progression going on. So, and I want to relate it to you like this. Whatever may be happening in your life right now, the heart of your Heavenly Father is that you would accomplish greater things than you currently are. The heart of the Father is not that His children remain stagnant and unable to progress further. However much God has glorified Himself through your life up until now, His vision for you is greater. Amen. His desire for you is greater than what it currently is. I mean, I think that's an incredible statement, you know, that Jesus would say that we would do greater things than what He did. Okay? Once again, it shows His heart with the Father. He's not concerned about who's doing the greater works. He's concerned that greater glory come to the Heavenly Father. Wow. Okay? Every single one of us in this room, okay, you are called, I am called, you know, to bring glory to the Father, that all the attention of heaven would come upon things that you and I are doing on the earth, and they would celebrate what we're doing. Amen. Now, not everything that men consider great is truly great in the eyes of God. And not everything that great is what happens from a pulpit. Okay? In fact, the things, you know, that Jesus considered the greatest, the things that really drew His attention, they didn't happen on pulpits. You know, the things that really drew His attention were when such things as the widow was going to the temple and there was a lot of people giving great sums of money there, okay? And He did not focus His attention on any of them at all. But the widow who gave 2 pennies, and that was all that she had, Jesus stopped everything to recognize that act of greatness. Okay? You may not be called, and I may not be called, to bring acclaim to my name on the earth. Okay? I may not do the kind of great works. We need to define what great works are. Great works are what draw heaven's attention. And the things that really draw heaven's attention many times are the things that happen between one or two people. It's not, you know, a massive evangelistic outreach. It's not Pastor Wade finally getting that 100,000 strong crowd so that he'll sing. We've joked about that for years. You know, he said he's only going to sing when the crowd gets big enough. It's not that, okay? It's not those things. It's the things that demonstrate the Father's heart, many of which happen between one person and another person. And no one else even knows about it except the Father Himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He rejoices. The angels stand at attention and they look when someone is doing that which brings glory to the Father on the earth, whether or not it happens on a platform. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are called. I am called to be someone that does things that is so great in the eyes of God that people applaud and they look at you. And they look at me and they say, wow, if this is what this Heavenly Father they're talking about is all about, then I want in on that. I want in on that. I remember a few years ago, some people went out from this church and they went to a certain part of our community in Beulahville. And they went and they felt like they were supposed to plant a tree there. Okay? And when they did that, you know, that didn't really seem to be a great impact. Okay? And they probably even forgot that they did it. But years later, other members of this congregation went back to that same part of our community, and the people were still talking about that someone cared enough to go and plant a tree in their community. Okay? That's not something that will ever be applauded, you know, from a platform. But it's something that brought glory to God. Amen. It brought a witness of who the Father's heart really is to needy people. Amen. Amen. Those are the kind of things that get celebrated in heaven. Amen. It's not my gifting. It's not my abilities. It's not the things that I can do on my own. It's what I can do, the Father working through me in order to bring glory to His name. Amen. You are called, every single one in here without exception. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are called to do great works on the earth. You are called to do things that will make people be astonished at what is motivating you to do what you're doing. I'll let that sink in a little bit. You know, and sometimes there's this false religious concept, oh, I don't want to do great things because I don't want to be proud. Wow, you're already caught up in your pride. I'm too proud. I don't want to become proud. I'm proud that I'm not proud. It's already stopped you. You know, I say it's better for you to do something great in the name of the Lord. And even if God has to correct your pride a little bit later, He will do that. It's better to go through that process than to never do anything that accomplishes honor for God on the earth. He can take care of your little pride. He can take care of my pride. Okay? Better to have something that you are tempted a little bit about. To be prideful, than to have nothing. I'm telling you, if we don't accomplish greater things that bring honor to God on the earth, we've wasted our life. We have wasted our life if we don't do the kinds of works here on the earth that brings honor to the Father. Our life has become a waste. Amen. Because you and I were created to do greater things. Oh, amen. That apply. I don't care how many mistakes you've made. You're called to do greater things. I don't care how many times you've slipped and fallen. You're called to do greater things. The heart of your Father for you on the earth is that you would do greater things. Hallelujah. The heart of your Heavenly Father here on the earth. See, fathers delight in seeing their children rise up. That is the heart of your Heavenly Father. There's no competition between a father and son. When my Father is honored, I rejoice. When He sees me rising, He rejoices. That's the way it works, or should work, between a father and a son. And that is the way that your Heavenly Father, He's cheering you on. You're able to do more than you think you can. His vision for you is greater than your own is. Hallelujah. I mean, there are dreams and visions in this room today. Hallelujah. There are dreams and visions in this room today that the Holy Spirit by the Heavenly Father wants to call into reality. Fan into flame. Okay? Not idle dreaming, but something that will bring forth glory to the Father. Amen. Oh, well, I just prefer to just kind of then go through life and be really good and not doing anything significant because I might get proud. Foolishness. Foolishness. What I should be afraid of is living life and never doing anything greater. Because He said that's what He wants us to do. He said that's what we will do if we believe. How many want to come before the Father and say, well, I was just really humble and good, you know, on the earth. That's the way I was, you know, and no one ever caught me being proud about anything. Or how many want to go to heaven and hear the Heavenly Father saying, whoa, man, you did it. You brought glory to my name. And you did it not through your gifting, but by doing something that you couldn't have done on your own. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, so the third statement is He has greater works for us, every one of us. Would you tell that to someone? God has a greater vision for you than you have for yourself. And that goes for the prideful people here as well. We don't have that kind of believer here in Beulahville. But elsewhere, I know, you know, there's always those brothers that seem to think greater of themselves than what we think they should. We don't have them at Grace Covenant Church. I know. But here, you know, speaking honestly, even those people, their vision of themselves is too small. And probably what is offending you when you look at them is not that they think too highly of themselves, is that you think too lowly of yourself. And you're angry that other people are not doing it too. Oh, so-and-so thinks they're so great. Well, they're greater than they think. In the vision of the Heavenly Father. Oh, there's nothing that offends the religious spirit than someone who thinks they're going to accomplish something. You know, that's what happened with David when he went out to fight Goliath. All he did was just ask, you know, what will be the reward for someone who takes out this giant? What did his brothers do? Who do you think you are? You're supposed to be tending those few little sheep back there. Who did you leave them with? You think you're going to accomplish something? I'm telling you, the religious spirit hates it when God's children begin to believe that they can do greater things. When God's children begin to believe they can be used to make a difference in this community. When God's children begin to believe that there is something they can accomplish on this earth that will make God's name greater. Okay? You will find you'll find fierce resistance, and you'll most often find it from people who say they're Christians. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. We're getting into some stuff I wasn't planning on too. Pastor Wade, let's get on with what we're supposed to get on with. Okay? John 14:16-17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Hallelujah. That he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. What's our fourth statement? The Heavenly Father is going to give us the Holy Spirit to make all these greater works possible. The greater works are not accomplished through my giftings or abilities. The greater works are accomplished not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so the Heavenly Father is going to pour out his Spirit upon his children so that we can actually do the greater works. What does it mean by greater? It's greater than what I can do on my own. If all I'm doing is what I can do, what do I need God for? Too long, Christianity has been summarized that way. We do what we can do. Well, where is God in that? I want to see someone that is able to stand up with a vision and say, I'm going to see God do something that I can't do on my own. He's going to do it through me because he's going to bring glory to his name that way. Yeah, what I'm going to do is going to be bigger than what I can do on my own. And therefore, I need the Holy Spirit. I need God. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't do that. Well, good. You need God then. Amen. And he said he's going to give us the Holy Spirit for that purpose. Okay. Now, the next statement is in John 14:31. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Amen. Jesus said that the way to demonstrate love for the Father was by obeying what he commands. Amen. You know, I've got a prayer for all these children that God has been sending to our church. And there's a ton of them, and there's going to be a ton more. Okay, there's going to be way more than there is now. There's a lot now. There's going to be way more than there is now. One of the reasons that we're doing what we're doing with the two services is so that more children can come. That's one of the reasons we're doing that. Because they're going to come more and more and more. Okay, now I want to tell you that I have a goal for the children that come here. And it's not only that we would see them experience God. Yes, that they would experience God, but that they would become obedient to their parents. Amen. That they would demonstrate their love for their parents by doing what they say. Unless what they say is in opposition to the Word of God. Okay? It is a deception to try to bring children into a relationship with God and the Holy Spirit when they're being disobedient to their parents. Their walk will ultimately not prosper. I want to ask you to join with me and that we can pray that all of these children here in our church will become wholeheartedly obedient to their parents. Once again, unless they're being told to do something that's in opposition to God's word. Okay? When that happens, we're supposed to obey God's word first. Unfortunately, in this world, that does happen these days, where parents tell children to do things that God's word says don't do. Okay? If that happens, don't obey. Okay? If that happens, don't obey. But there is the way to demonstrate love for a parent is not to hug them or to give them embraces or whatever or gifts. It's to do what they say. Do it from the heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm teaching you the path of life. Okay, I'm telling you like what it really is. You want to see a child that has a real prospering relationship with God, you will see a child that also listens to their parents. And if they don't, that will undermine their relationship and they'll lose heart. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said the way to show love to the Father was the way he did it. I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Now, there's one more thing about that before we move to the sixth statement. There's one more thing about that. I am unable to fully receive the love of the Father when I'm disobedient. It's not that the Father doesn't love me. It's that my heart is not free to receive it because I'm being disobedient. Okay? So many Christians want to receive more love from the Father while being disobedient. That's a formula for frustration. Okay? When I obey, my heart also becomes free to receive from the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Okay? The sixth thing here, the sixth statement, is found in John chapter 15, 1 through 3. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear fruit. More fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Amen. Okay? When a Christian becomes obedient to the Lord, their life begins to bear fruit. Okay? When that begins to happen, something really wonderful begins to happen. The Heavenly Father takes notice that I have become obedient to him. Therefore, some fruit is beginning to be produced in me. And he looks at me, not with the eyes of seeing what's wrong with me, but seeing what's right with me. My obedience is producing fruit, okay? And so he says, okay, I want to produce even more fruit through your life than what you already are producing. I want to make you greater than where you are. And I can help you do that. I'll help cut away the things that are keeping you from rising to a higher place. And those things, you know, it's the parents that know the weaknesses of the children. Right. Heavenly Father knows what keeps you and I from rising higher. And he wants to cut it away if we'll let him do it. Okay? He does that because he loves us and because his vision for us is greater than our own. His vision for you is greater than you know. If you'll let God prune away some of the things in your life And if I'll let God prune away some of the things in my life that consume part of my ability to bear fruit, okay, I will rise up higher and greater than I've ever been before. I'm telling you, we're in a window where it's time for believers to rise up and see great things happen. You know, the end time harvest has been set in motion. I fully believe it. I don't know how long it's going to take to bring in, 20 years, 200 years, whatever it is. But it's been set in motion, and it's time for us to rise up and to see greater things happen. The Heavenly Father loves us enough to remove the things that keep us from rising higher from us if we'll let Him.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And the last statement that we see in what Jesus said, it has to do with the Heavenly Father. It's in John 17, 22 and 23. And I want to go back to what it is that is the very nature. See, because Jesus is not teaching on what God is like. He's referring to God, but he's speaking about him as the Father. Okay? He's referring to God, but he's speaking about him as the Father. And in that statement, in all of these things that we've seen in these passages, Jesus is communicating a deeper truth that we want to end with today. We're going to ask God to impart his own heart to us. And that is, a father is not trying to build a ministry. A father is building a family.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay? And there is something that we need to understand. We need to really grab a hold of, okay? In the place where the Father's heart reigns, the children will become like a family rather than acquaintances, okay? And that's what Jesus is speaking of here, John 17, 22, 23. He says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me." Okay. There is such a powerful love of the Father that he wants to impart to us that he says it like this. The Father has loved you, okay? Put your finger on your chest like that. The Father has loved you just as he loved Jesus Christ. Just as he loved Jesus, okay? And that is not only true, but it's the Father's will that the world would know that that's true. It's not just that we would know that that's true. And I confess, I have spent many years trying to really assimilate that the Father loves me the way he loved Jesus. Okay? But we see there two things going on in this passage. He wants us to know that we are loved just as Jesus was loved. Okay? He wants us to know that. But he says also that his heart is that we would become one. Okay? And in that, we need to understand some very deep things. And I'm going to close with this before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We need to understand some very deep things. The heart of the Father releases in me personally the understanding that I'm loved like Jesus. But collectively, it also releases something that makes us completely united.
Amen.
Okay? Now that is the very definition of a family. A family is that unit of people, whether by adoption or by birth, that everyone is loved the same by the Father. Okay? And so this is what the Lord is building. And through that, he's going to bring us into complete unity. I think one of the best ways that I could illustrate this, I want to share this with you, is one thing that happened at the consultation that was very profound and revealing to me. Because today, oftentimes when we talk about receiving the Father's heart or the love of the Father, we're just talking about a personal experience that God does want us to have, okay? But he says, Jesus says, that when I understand that I am loved by the Father, just as Jesus was, something else is going to be happening too. My family is going to come into complete unity. Amen. Okay? And this leader from an Arab nation, a Christian leader from an Arab nation, he shared it like this. One day he went to his father, and he had a really great report to bring about the family business, how they had achieved a great financial breakthrough. And when he went to his father there at the dinner table and he was sharing that with him, you know, he could tell that initially his father was very, very glad about it, okay? But just a few short minutes after he saw that joy on his father's heart, on his face, you know, he saw his father becoming sad. And he turned to his mother, he got his mother aside and said, what's wrong with father? You know, I shared this great financial breakthrough in our family business, and he was kind of happy, but now he's sad. What's going on? Have I done something to offend father? And she said, no, son, you have done nothing to offend father. Said, here's the problem. You know, you brought that report of a great advance, but earlier, before you came here, your brothers were here, and they had a terrible fight. And your father is sad because of what's happened with your brothers. Okay? Here's the thing that is revealing to us, guys, that I have to receive from God the Father in order for this thing to work the way it's supposed to. I have to receive not just the understanding and the revelation that I'm loved, but I have to receive the heart and the understanding that each of my brothers and sisters is equally loved. I have to receive that very heart that comes from the Father himself. And before him, I'm loved, but Edward is just as loved as I am. Okay? And in that, his Father's heart is expressed in us, and we become united as a family. There is no other way for us to become a family, truly, other than to receive the Father's heart for us. Because it's the Father that gives identity to a family. He is the one who loves Royce every bit as much as he loves Pastor Dave. When I ask the Father for an impartation of the Father's heart, I'm asking not only for revelation about how he loves me, I'm asking him to help me understand that everyone else is loved just as much. Okay? And when I deal with people that way, in that revelation, we truly become one. We truly become one. It's not a fake religious thing. We truly become one because it's flowing from the Father's heart. Amen. What the Father wants to impart to us today is not just how much I am personally loved, but how much everyone else in the room is as well. Okay? And I'll never be able to truly believe that the Father loves me more than I believe he loves my brother. I won't be able to believe it. And that's why Jesus said that second greatest commandment was to love our brother as we love ourselves. The two are tied together. As I receive revelation about how God loves Royce, that opens my heart to receive revelation also about how I am loved. As I receive revelation about how I am loved, I also receive greater revelation about how he is loved. It works in a continuing circle, and we have to see both sides of this to receive either one of them. Okay, that's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work. God's not trying to build a ministry or a church. He's not trying to raise my name up and do anything. He's trying to build a family. He wants to impart his Father's heart in order that be accomplished. Hallelujah. I want to ask everyone to stand because I'm going to ask Pastor Wade to pray for an impartation of the Father's heart upon our church, just like he did in Jerusalem. I want to tell you guys, I hope how proud of him I am is showing to you, because this man was greatly, greatly honored. Amen. You know, at that consultation, he received probably the greatest position of honor in praying for what God was doing. God is raising up a family all over the face of the earth. Hallelujah. And we're going to ask God, if you would, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands together with me and let's pray and let's ask God to impart his Father's heart. Not only that we are loved, but that my brother and my sister is equally loved. How I treat them is the greatest indicator of how much of the Father's heart I actually have. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Wade.
Father, thank you for this powerful word that is expressed so well, Lord, the Father's heart. And Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to declare the impartation of that, the Father's heart, the Father's love, his character, his desire for us to go deeper and deeper into the things of the Lord and to do greater things than Jesus did, because you've stated that in your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just give you praise for that. We give you thanks for it, Lord. It goes beyond our comprehension. Father, it just goes beyond our weak ability to understand and to comprehend. But Lord, we take it by faith that you want to do those things. And Father, that in this impartation of the Father's heart, you further enable us and give us the ability to do those things, Father, because we're thinking in the right way. We're moving in the right way. Our heads are on right, Lord God. We're not seeking our own glory. We're seeking your glory, Lord God. And so, Father, because of that, we declare that we do receive this day and continue to receive tomorrow and every day, Lord, the Father's heart, the Father's heart. And Father, I thank you that you are full of compassion and you're gracious and you're slow to anger and you're abundant in loving kindness. Lord, that's what I want. I want that for my heart, Lord. And I declare that for this church, that we receive that as we receive the word and obey the word. And as the Holy Spirit deals with us and as the word of God comes to us and it sets us free, we thank you that we receive that, Lord. And we declare that over this church, the impartation of the Father's heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just praise his name. Let's just lift up our voices and praise his name. Let's just lift up our voices and just praise his name. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your heart being imparted to this church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We lift up our hands to receive, Lord, the ability to see one another, oh Lord, with the heart that you see them with. Yes, Lord. We turn away, oh Lord, from not valuing one another, realizing that in dishonoring one another, we are dishonoring the Father. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's just praise him for a moment. Let's just praise him for a moment. Let's just thank him. He is so wonderful. He is so good. Hallelujah. God is releasing powerful things in our lives. He's opening our hearts to greater things. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. It's in this spirit that we're supposed to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. We partake of one loaf. Represents one body. We're a family, guys. We have the same Father. It doesn't matter what color our skin is. It doesn't matter what our economic status is. It doesn't matter what language we speak. We have the same Heavenly Father. We're a family. He cares for each one equally. In the measure that I minister that to others, I will receive it myself. Thank you, Lord. The men are going to begin to distribute the bread and the cup. And I want to invite everyone that is a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, even if you're visiting from another church, if you're a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, we invite you to celebrate the Lord's Supper with you. It belongs, it's from our Father. It's not a church. It's from our Father. It's for his body. And as they distribute the bread and the cup, we ask you that you hold on to them so we can partake together. God bless you.